1010 on WGN. This is The Stylistics.
No more pigtail in your hair.
When I think of The Stylistics, I think of I'm Stone in Love with You, Betcha by Golly, Wow, You Make Me Feel Brand New. I don't think I knew You're a Big Girl Now, but this is a song that when you think about your dad, you think about him. Is that right, Maple?
Yes, absolutely. This song was played for my high school graduation, college graduation, and for my upcoming wedding. This is the song for me and my dad.
No more daddy, little girl.
That's video of your life music right there, isn't it?
Yes, absolutely.
So I asked everybody in the room, I said, okay, Joe and Don, Griff, I've got one too. Is there a song that resonates with you when you think about your dad? Happy Father's Day weekend, everybody. So we'll feature those as we move along the show. Is there one particular thing? That's the song that you and... So your dad would play that song. He'd say you're daddy's little girl or something like that to you?
Yes, absolutely. And all the while, I'm becoming a big girl.
Yeah, I know. You're even tall. So you're a big girl now.
I am.
You are a big girl now.
Indeed. Yes.
A tall girl anyway.
Yes, 5'8".
And old enough to be married and have a job and do all that stuff.
Yes, unfortunately.
When's the wedding?
The wedding is March 21st of next year.
I'm going to cry at that first dance with your dad,
Don't
and
cry.
I won't even be there. But I'll just be like, somewhere Maple's dancing with her dad, and they're doing the stylistic.
That's okay. You'll be there in spirit.
I will be.
Yes.
Okay, so on Facebook, I'm WGN King John on Facebook. Do you like me on Facebook? That's where you'll find me. And I posted the following. Happy Father's Day weekend. My dad often said, John, time is money. I don't think about that so much as I think I feel it. I live it. I am it. I'm cognizant that no one else is going to provide for me, that I have to be accountable, that time wasted is opportunity lost. My dad said and still does silly things, too. He always mispronounces sidewalk. He says snidewalk. And then I asked, what wisdom or silliness do you think about when you think about your father? And I'd like you to call or text me right now at 312-981-7200 with that. What silliness or wisdom do you think about when you think about your father? 312-981-7200. Because my dad was both, right? I mean, he was the provider of a family of six and was in the Air Force and was a counselor at a junior college, among other things, and he had his head down. He was working. And so that was sort of the wisdom of my father. And I've thought about this. Brenda and I have raised a couple of sons. And as much as I never thought snidewalk was funny, I knew that that sort of shtick was his thing. But I always thought, I won't do that. And I suspect I probably have over the years resorted to silly puns and mispronunciations is sort of signature dad humor when I didn't like it or want it when I was a kid, but it seems to be what you become when you're an adult.
I still call it the defrogger. And that's actually coming from my mom. I don't know why I say it, but the defrogger rather than the defroster on a car.
On a car. Put on the defrogger.
Yeah. Or the glove department. It's the glove compartment. We spend a lot of time in the car, apparently.
Yeah, and I just, I'm just running through right now all of the moments in the car. I mean, I think part of the soundtrack of a lot of our lives is I'll come back there. We'll turn this car around. Dave said, don't swear in front of your mother. Wisdom from Dad. I know you're going to cuss. Just don't do it in front of Mom. Fair enough, Dave. Thank you for that. 312-981-7200. I see the phone lines are ringing. Lots of calls, lots of texts on Father's Day weekend. I said, tell me the wisdom or silliness that your father has passed along to you. We'll feature some of our songs. We'll do that. But, Joe, I just want to do, before I miss an opportunity, say how much fun it's been to watch the White Sox and listen to them. Eloy Jimenez had two more home runs at home, finally. He's hitting home runs against the New York Flippin' Yankees. And the White Sox have won two games. Somebody said this earlier in the week in the Tribune, and I agree with it wholeheartedly. If we do want to pretend like this is a season where we really will come into our own, where the White Sox really are evolving in front of your eyes, they need to do well in the next 2 weeks because they've got 15 games in a row with above 500 teams. So you've got to, you know, you can't play the Royals forever. Two of the worst teams in baseball are in our division. So we get to sort of pad our record there. But you got to beat the Yankees and Cubs sometimes, and that's your next two series. So that was very gratifying. The worst we're going to do now is 500 against New York.
At the beginning of the year, Rick Hahn was asked the question, you know, what will you see as a win for this team, or what goals would you see be hit? And he said, it's not so much of a record, it's how we get to the record, which there's a lot to that, but it's how is Tim Anderson doing this year? How is Yoan Moncada's progression? How did Lucas Giolito bounce back? How's Eloy Jimenez up at the major league level? Those are all positive things right now. Very, very positive things. Obviously, there's been a lot of injuries that they've had to deal with the rotation and a lot of things to overcome. But again, no one is expecting this team to make the playoffs, but here they are just, what, 2.5 games out of a wild card spot?
Yeah.
I mean, there is still a lot of positives to be had, even if the wins and losses aren't there, but the wins are coming right now. So it's a really fun time for Sox
fans. They are one of the most interesting teams in baseball right now. That's a fact. Let's talk to Jan. We're talking about our dads a little bit on Father's Day weekend, the wisdom or silliness of them. Jan, you're on the air. What can I do for you?
Good morning. I just wanted to tell a story about my grandfather, actually, rather than my dad. And he answered the phone always, every day, by saying, "Beautiful day in Chicago, Hallberg speaking." And it was just typical of his attitude towards life, that every day was a beautiful day.
It's very nice. Jen, thank you for the call.
You're welcome. Have a good day.
Have a good day. Jane, you're on WGN. What did you want to say? Hey, Jane.
Yes, I just wanted to say for those viewers out there, they need to continue love their fathers. My father is no longer with me, so love and kiss them, because if you live long enough, they will go away.
Oh, my goodness, that's
so
my mother.
Have a good day.
Mom.
Hi, Maple. How are you?
Jane, you heard us talk about this upcoming wedding, the song that's going to be played. I guess that's no surprise to you either. That's going to be a big moment for your little family there.
Yeah, hope so. Looking forward to it.
Jane, thank you for calling and thank you for listening.
Okay, thank you.
Your daughter, Maple, is doing well. Did you know she was going to call?
I had no idea. She's one sneaky woman.
Carol, you're on WGN. Hi, Carol, you're on the air.
Hi there. My father often packed my lunches when I was in high school, and when he made veal loaf sandwiches, he'd slip in a note between the bread that read, "Help, I'm being kept prisoner in a veal loaf factory." And I wouldn't discover it until I was eating lunch at school and bit into the sandwich.
"Help, I'm being held captive in a meatloaf factory."
Yes.
That's it. Dads do that. Moms don't. That's a dad thing.
So whenever he packed it, I would open the sandwich first to make sure I wasn't biting into a note.
Very funny. Thanks for the call.
Sure.
You know, I don't know if my dad this many times. He maybe only did it a few times in my life. But I shared a bedroom with my brother, and I've thought about it and told it enough that I think I've exaggerated it. But Dad would come in the mornings that my dad would come in to wake us up. He knew that we were already a little bit awake, and we already knew that he was standing in the doorway, but we pretended that we weren't awake yet so we could sneak 10 more minutes of sleep. But he would just walk in, open the door, and say, "Gentlemen, start your engines." And he would walk out. That was it. And we thought, well, if we hadn't moved, then we couldn't have heard him say that because we were asleep. Dad wasn't one to come and nestle us gently and say, "Hey, hon, it's Monday. We got to go to school." That was the way Mom would wake you up. Dad would just walk in, "Gentlemen, start your engines, walk out." Dave, you're on WGN. What do you want to say? You're on the air.
Morning, King John.
Hey.
I just wanted to relay a tune that always tore and still tears at my heart. It's about Mike and the Mechanics. Mike Rutherford was a member of Genesis. And the tune is called "In the Living Years."
Oh, I know the song. I used to play it on the radio.
Oh, it's just, it, even if you didn't hear the music, just reading the lyrics.
That's well put. You know, I thought about this for the staff, but maybe if we got some time, we'll play that a little bit too.
Thank you, John.
Dave, thanks for the call. You know, I'm going to interview on Tuesday Lisa Brennan Jobs. I read the book and talked a little bit about it earlier this year when the book first came out. The book is called Small Fry. It's a New York Times bestseller. This is Steve Jobs' daughter. Steve Jobs, famously an iconoclastic, iconic, weird, brilliant guy. He was everything good. He was everything bad in many ways. And, you know, he denied the parentage of his daughter. He was distanced from his, was it his, were they married or was it, I don't think they ever married. It was just his daughter's mother. So they had a relationship, but he didn't want it. And he didn't want this little girl. And while he would become fantastically wealthy, of course, he didn't share it. And a lot of the problems that the mother and daughter had could have been solved if he'd just write a check. But he didn't want to write a check because he was strange. Early in the book, Lisa Brennan Jobs describes, and there's many interesting things about this. Many of them are her memory. She remembers the smallest details. She said this was around the time the story came out, the machine of the year, about my father and computers. Cover of Time magazine, January 1983. I was 4 years old, in which he'd hinted that my mother had slept with many men and lied. In it, he talked about saying 28% of the male population of the United States could be the father, probably based on manipulation of the DNA test result, after she read that article. My mother moved in slow motion. The muscles on her face slack. She cooked dinner with the kitchen lights off, except for a dim light shining from under one cabinet. But in a few days, she'd recover herself and her sense of humor, and she sent my father a picture of me sitting naked on a chair in our house, wearing only Groucho Marx joke glasses with the big plastic nose and fake mustache. "I think it's your kid," she wrote on the back of the picture. She had a mustache then, or he had a mustache then, and wore glasses and had a big nose. In response, he sent her a check for $500. And that was the money we used to move us back to the Bay Area, where we would sublet a room for a month in Menlo Park and a house on Avey Avenue with a hippie who kept bees. The day after we returned from Tahoe, my father wanted to show us his new house. I hadn't seen him for years, and I wouldn't see him for years after that. The memory of this day, the outlandish house, and my strange father seemed surreal when I thought of it later, as if it hadn't really happened. He came to pick us up in his Porsche. You do not read this book and like much Steve Jobs, but it's the daughter's story. She's going to join us on the show on Tuesday. It's 10:28. This is WGN. We'll go into the newsroom. Maple's got that coming up. It's 10:39 on WGN. Father's Day weekend, I asked the gang in the studios today. I was baptized when I was criticized, when I was ostracized, when I was jazzercised, taking kidney pies, when I was on. I said, tell me a song that resonates with you and your dad.
Daddy wasn't there.
Joe, this is your contribution?
Yes, and not in a negative way.
Because it sounds like Daddy wasn't there, Joe. I'm picking that up.
Well, the full irony of that song is right after Austin Powers sings it, he heads into the room and there's his dad. But yeah, it's funny, too. You came in here asking a song I associate with my dad. And I mean, there's a lot of things I associate my dad with, and really music isn't one of them. But
right.
I was growing up really huge Austin Powers fan, and I think he was, too, probably just because I liked the movies so much, and we used to quote it all the time. Pretty much all of them.
So you and your dad, Austin Powers, is maybe the takeaway there.
Pretty much, yes.
Well, that's nice that you share something fun and silly like that. Daddy wasn't there.
That's a good song, too.
It is.
I don't know that song.
Well, it was written for the movie. I love songs by fictional bands or artists in movies and TV shows. It's a subsect of music that I'm obsessed with.
But also sometimes they're pretty good, too, and you think,
yeah,
wow,
exactly.
You guys should, you know, it makes it seem easy to come up with a hit or a good song.
You know, often they hire actual pop songwriters, so there's not a huge secret to it. But yeah, no, it's funny.
Griff, was it you this year that noticed there was a car commercial with a Christmas song written by the Saturday Night Live skit?
Yeah, I don't remember the commercial.
I Wish It Were Christmas
Today.
Yeah,
but we did talk about that song, I Wish It Was Christmas Today, yeah, which came from the SNL.
Right, because I remember watching that, and I'm like, oh my gosh, that's from Saturday Night Live.
And right,
just
and
totally.
The guy from The Strokes remade it into like a real song that sounded awesome, yeah.
Happy Father's Day to the dads and moms and dads and kids and everybody out there this weekend. On Facebook, I said, so tell me the silliness or wisdom of your dad. Dory posted, all puppies are cute. She said, two great truths from her father. All puppies are cute, and God puts talent in strange places. Some of these you have to pause and think about. Rosemary said, life is short, my daughter. Meg said, pay your bills first and eat on what is left. I think that's the essence of dads. I mean, it may be silly, it may be esoteric, but basically dads are like, here's how you live life. Okay, you get a job, you pay your taxes, and then you save some money so you're not living in our basement. 10 things my father taught me. 1, put God first. You are not the most important person. The list goes on. Susan said, I would say to my dad, you got a haircut. And he would reply and say, no, I got them all cut.
Nah.
That's a dad. Dad.
That's too good.
The other day, we were at my fiance's parents, and we were having a good night, and the parents went to bed before us, so my fiance's going up the stairs, and she accidentally knocked a picture off the wall. Picture rolls down the stairs, crashes against the cabinets, we're all worried, nothing from their bedroom, and then she goes into her father's bedroom to grab a pillowcase,
yeah.
The drawer opens, and he shoots off from the bed, what's going on over there? we were like, who touched the thermostat? What's going on?
There you go. There's a dad saying, who touched the thermostat?
Got a bunch of texts about this. One is from, 574. My dad was missing a part of his finger from a farm accident. He would hold it up to his nose, and it looked like he had his whole finger stuck up his nose. LOL.
Yeah, so...
The wisdom.
On the downside, I lost a finger, but boy, I've got a funny joke for life.
You gotta make the most of it.
On the upside. Susan said my dad would say, hey, Susan Mattingly, Kent never did anything. Yeah, I remember that, Susan. I remember your brother talking about that at your dad's funeral. Kent never did anything. Kent never did anything. Don't say Kent. Don't be Kent. Don't believe Kent. Kent never did anything. Mike Mattingly spoke lovingly about his dad years ago. Here's another one. If two people agree on everything, one of them isn't thinking. And then post like this on my Facebook page. I'm WGN King John on Facebook. So Sherry posted with a picture of her dad. My father-in-law, I guess that it might be the father-in-law, might be the dad, but there's a picture of a small child and a dad from what I'll say is circa 1955. My father-in-law, Bud Sager, went to World War II with 400 in his outfit. 2 came back. Bravest man I've ever known. Touching picture. So that's on my Facebook page.
I like this other text from 815. When my dad really liked something, he would say it was terrible. He loved strawberry shortcake, and he would say it was terrible. We all say things are terrible now when we really like something.
That's
that's terrible.
That's like DNA. You just can't escape it, you know. So what's the TV commercial right now where is it Geico? You can't help that you're going to become your parents, and then there are people acting like their parents, saying things that are really funny, like the the woman who says, "You've got a tattoo. Do you have a job?" That's the sort of thing.
All of a sudden, I'm talking to the neighbors saying, "Defense wins championships." It does. I know.
Some of these things you just can't escape. But I'm telling you, if your experience as a teenager was like mine, you just go, oh, all right, when we would get in the car to go to church or the store, instances where we would all be in the car, my dad would then treat it like the cockpit of an airplane, you know, and he would say, all right, pilot to co-pilot, ready for liftoff, ready for liftoff. And then we'd back out with, you know, my dad smiling, my mom smiling thinly, and the rest of us just going, oh, can we go? And now it's everything in my being to keep myself from saying pilot to co-pilot. And it's just me and Daisy, you know, and Brenda, you know, it's, there's nobody there, but it's your DNA. It's passed on and you can't avoid it. Another thing you cannot avoid this weekend in Chicago. Today is the day 2,500 scooters are being dropped in our fair city from 10 different electric share scooter companies. They call them e-scooters. And they say they're going to put them in areas in Chicago where there are not divvies so readily available. But one of them is near where I live, up by Wrigley Field, Halstead. If you say Chicago River on the south and up to Irving Park on the north, near Halstead, there's going to be a corridor of a couple hundred of these e-scooters, electric scooters. And you just, with your credit card, sign up for an account. It's very simple. You can do it with your phone, and then it costs $1 to turn the scooter on, and then you pay 15 cents a mile. And zoom you go, 12, 13, 14 miles an hour. No helmet on. And you're not supposed to be on the sidewalk or on the bike lanes. You're supposed to be in with cars and trucks. I'm sure it'll be fine. But there's going to be a learning curve for all of us today. So if you're driving around Chicago, you have to, starting today, be on the lookout for 2,500 little e-scooters zipping along.
Haven't you noticed the cities that have gotten these people just complain about them constantly?
Yes.
Something to think about. It's not my official position. Who's to say how they'll go?
The Mincing Rascals talked about this. Well, yeah, I think the default for most of us is, oh, no, here it comes. The carnage of the e-scooters. We're already navigating pedestrians who really don't care, cars and bicycles, and then the occasional random scooter or longboard. But now the city is contracting with 10 different companies. It's a pilot program. It's going to go until the middle of October, starting today, and 2,500 scooters are going to zip around.
Just flooded with texts right now about dads. Can I just read one more?
Oh, yeah, read them all.
This just struck me because I got two texts at the exact same time. They're right next to each other in our log here with the same saying, which was my dad said, there is never enough time to do it right, always time to do it over.
Say that again.
There's never enough time to do it right, but there's always enough time to do it over. I've never heard that. And we have two texts right next to each other.
So what is
so
that?
Like, to do the job right, but you can always do it over.
It's
right.
Kind of like a sarcastic tone,
yes,
right?
Yeah, I think
I've heard there's the right way and then there's dad's way.
This is a very rich vein in dad humor, I suppose. I just know that we got those texts at exactly the same time. Correct me up.
A lot of it is generational, too. It's not just father, daughter, son, you know, father and kids, but it's also that generation. My parents' generation were very concerned about leaving a door open if the air conditioning was on. I don't know that I have not heard that. Now, maybe in some neighborhoods that's still an issue, but as an owner of air conditioning in my life, I've never panicked that the door was open. But boy, if we had the luxury of the air conditioning being on and the door was open, oh, close the door. The air conditioning's on. Have you heard that sentence lately? Probably not. Same with the refrigerator. Close the door. We're not paying to cool the outside. Long-distance phone calls. It's fiction now. But once upon a time, if you were in Chicago and you called your friend in Peoria, that was expensive, so you timed it and you spoke quickly. And so if you're my age, those sort of sentences really resonate because those were the things you'd hear from your mom and dad. Back to the electric scooters. Just quickly, if you've driven one of those, 312-981-7200, we talked a little bit about this one weekday a few weeks ago when the pilot program was announced. The city is very quick. For instance, we said, let's put the alderman on that loves this idea. Why did the city council approve this? Who's in charge? They don't want to talk about it a lot right now. because they're not sure it's going to work, and they know you're going to be a little ticked, and they also know you may run over one of these things. So be advised that they're out there. Don't run over those people in the scooters. They're going to be there with you at a stoplight. You may see one right now. 312-981-7200. And I'm interested in what your experience has been on those e-scooters in other cities. Mike, you're on WGN. You were in Indianapolis. Is that right?
Yeah, John, how you doing?
Good, man. What's going on?
Hey, not much. I heard Nick talking about it all week. Everyone on WGN's been talking about those scooters all week. I just happened to be in Indy for a wedding last weekend. They're everywhere. It seems like it caught on in that town. That people, they bar hop with them.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I'm talking 18, 25-year-olds, even some older people I've seen them, and they move along pretty quick, too.
Yeah, I'm surprised at how quick they go, because did you see anybody with helmets on?
No. They had their purses flying off the back, their bags, and one-handed, and they were gone.
Yeah. It's super, I can think of instances where it's too close to take a cab or drive or Uber, and it's a little farther than you want to walk. I mean, these things would be perfect in a lot of instances.
Now, you got to remember, Indy's not like Chicago. It's a closed little city there.
Yeah.
You know, they don't have the north side and south side and all that. But I'm telling you, you'd think there were 3 million people in downtown Indy. They had so many scooters down there.
And so as you were driving around watching them, did y'all... It didn't bother you? And
no, I mean, we were walking around. We were down at Union Station for a wedding, like I said.
Yeah.
But they were just zooming in and out. The streets are real narrow down there. They're nothing like Chicago, you know.
Downtown Indianapolis is a nice little spot, isn't it?
It's beautiful.
Yeah, yeah. We've been there a lot.
They should be proud for what they've done down there in the last 10, 15 years.
Yeah, I think you're right. Yeah, good of you to call. Thanks for joining us today, Mike.
All right, have a good day.
2,500 of them in Chicago, 10 different companies, each with 250 of them. And then maybe in the fall, if we all get along, then they'll award contracts to, I don't know, one, two, three of them. I don't think they're going to have 10 vendors in the city. And there's also some of the areas where they're dropping these. Like, if you don't see them, they may not be in your area. In fact, if you drive out of the zone for which the scooter is designated, it stops. I guess it kind of knows where you are, and it'll just power down. But if you're on the west end of town, if you're in the southwest end of town, if you're up by Irving Park Road and Halstead, going up that way, that's not too far from Wrigley. I don't think that's a good idea, but we'll see how it goes. Those scooters will be buzzing around starting today. It's 10:57. The Mincing Rascals talked about that. I won't bother you much with their conversation today on that topic, but they had a lot of interesting things to say in our Mincing Rascals podcast broadcast after the news, including the plight of one Joe Crane. He is the meteorologist from the Springfield TV station who lost his job because he said the weather alerts that the TV station was doing were getting out of hand. Everybody in town agreed with him, and they fired him. The Rascals talk about that and more after the news in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. I've long since retired. My son's moved away. Thank you, Mabel. I called him up just the other day. You can't do a Saturday of Father's Day songs. You don't get to this one. Dad, if I can find the time. All together now. See, my new job's a hassle and the kids have the flu. But it's sure nice talking to you, Dad. It's been sure nice talking to you. And as I hung up the phone, it occurred to me he'd grown up just like me. My boy was just like me. This song is so sad. I wish it wasn't. And the cats in the cradle and the silver spoon. Little boy blue and the man on the moon. When you're coming home, son, I don't know when. But we'll get together then, Dad. We're gonna have a good time then. Growing up, the boy wishes the dad wasn't so busy. Late in life, the dad wishes the son wasn't so busy. Harry Chapin. Happy Father's Day weekend. If you haven't spent meaningful time with the people you can still spend time with them. I once interviewed a psychologist, author. She had written a book. It was very interesting. We were talking about relationships with family members. And afterwards, she called me up and she sought me out. Was it a phone call or was it an email? And she said, make sure that you repair your relationships in your life. Make sure that you tell the people you love them. Make sure you spend the time with the people that are important to you while you can. That's my takeaway from that song. Hope you have a nice Father's Day weekend planned. It's 11:10 on WGN. You know, the Mincing Rascals won the Illinois Broadcasters Association Best Podcast Award for the state of Illinois. We last year were awarded the best in the city. This year, the IBA said that the Mincing Rascals podcast was the best in the state. And the radio station won the best radio station in the state as well, WGN Radio. There were other award winners, Dave Ennett, and Nick DiGilio was the personality of the year and ever so deserving. Are you listening to WGN overnight? Very entertaining and fun. Thank you, Nick. Congratulations for that. I'm just trying to think. Ryan Burrow in the newsroom. I don't have the list in front of me right now, but congrats to them all. And thanks to the likes of Eric Zorn, the Chicago Tribune columnist, our own Steve Bertrand, and me. We are all on this week's edition of the Mincing Rascals, along with Scott Stantis. His is the first voice you'll hear in our Mincing Rascals podcast. Stantis was talking about stepping outside this week into the still unseasonably cold weather.
I was on the phone on the way over here and walked out the door. I was on a call. And as I walked out the door, I went, holy Mary, mother of God.
Yeah, it's crazy.
It's mid-June.
I'm glad we were able to address that.
I would like to take the opposite view.
It's been warm. You know, since we're talking about the weather, let's talk about this Springfield weatherman for a minute. Springfield, Illinois weatherman Joe Crane told his viewers June 5th that he doesn't agree with the use of the station's code red weather alerts.
We've heard you. We want you to know it's not us. This is a corporate initiative, the code red alert. And behind the scenes, many of us have tried to dissuade it for the last few months to try something else that's less controversial to the viewers.
He was taken off the air following that. Yesterday, on the heels of widespread protests, the station said they will use an alternate warning system. And today they also said that Joe Crane was let go. Who is surprised that Joe Crane no longer has a job?
I'm not surprised. I'm disappointed that Joe Crane doesn't have a job. I feel like the TV stations in particular overhype the weather and they create a Chicken Little effect. That's the children's folktale metaphor that I'm looking for, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
And the
sky is falling.
NBC does this now where they say, well, they'll say like there's a possible tornadoes. This puts 12 million Americans at risk. They're doing this on their nightly news. And it's like, that is just needlessly alarmist. And it makes people tune out when something is actually coming, that there actually is a weather code red, when a tornado is barreling down on Washington, Illinois or something. And people are like, oh yeah, those weathermen, they're always getting too excited about stuff. And so I really agree with this guy, and he spoke truth to power and is paying the price. I hope that
Sinclair,
the advertiser boycott that's going on down in Springfield is effective and they bring him back. It was a good thing that he did.
I agree with his sentiment, but I understand why he was fired.
Sure.
If I'm the owner of the product and I'm paying you to push the product and you go on the air and say the guy pushing, you know, who owns the product is a nutcase, I can understand why he was fired.
Have you seen the video?
Is he like doing network like, I'm mad as hell and I'm not going to red code anymore?
It sounds to me like he was getting the backlash of people saying, why do you do this? Why do you do this? And he finally said, look, this is why we do it.
That's evident by the thousands of comments on social media, letters to the editor, frequent calls to local talk radio shows. We've heard you.
He took over 2 minutes to just look at the camera and say, hey, it's a corporate crime.
And the corporation is?
Sinclair Broadcasting.
Sinclair Broadcasting. Talk about a dodged bullet here at WGN, right?
Yeah, no kidding. But the other thing about this is doesn't this dovetail into a wider trend now, especially on cable news, where on CNN, there's breaking news every 3 minutes. It really can't.
Have you had a Tribune alert anytime soon on your phone?
Well, that's a good point. Touche, but I also think Wolf Blitzer's show.
We are calm and measured.
I might be wrong, but I think Wolf Blitzer's show on CNN is called Breaking News. Because every time I turn it on, they say, and we have breaking news, you know. It's two different subjects, I think. You know, you can say one, we might be overstating the weather, which I don't agree with, Eric. But the crux of it is that, you know, this guy was insubordinate. And even though he was brave for it and he reinitiated real change because of it, I also understand why his employers fired him.
It is mixed signals. If the guy was right, you shouldn't fire him. If he was wrong, you should. But he's clearly being fired for his insubordination, for him going rogue on their TV station.
And he's done damage to the TV station.
Who's done more damage today? The station for firing him or him for saying that? The station had a nice corrective. They said, thank you, Joe. They could have done this. We hear you and we hear our viewers, and we're now going to use what they now call weather worn, which feels like the best to me. It's like we get the idea, but that's not how people talk, but they're calling it weather worn.
I don't know if I would have fired him. I don't know. But I understand why
See,
he was.
But as a manager, you have to think more than one move ahead on the chessboard and think, okay, this story goes away in 24 hours if we go, you know, we heard you, Joe. We're going to change that. Joe is a beloved weatherman, evidently, down there. It's now a national news story because you're so thin-skinned that you can't take criticism of this ridiculous corporate edict.
Let me ask you guys about the Fair Oaks Farm. The owner is aghast at what happened over there. In Indiana, Fair Oaks Farms has a cow milking and agri-tour operation. You can go see the cows. They sell milk from there to Fairlife Dairy, which markets their product as milk coming from cows that have comfortable, humane existences. The owner's signatures are on each carton. Now a class action suit has been filed. Fairlife, as well as Mike and Sue McCloskey, the owners of Fair Oaks Farms in Northwest Indiana, are listed as the defendants. A California man initiated the class. He said he pays extra money, a premium for the milk, but it's not as advertised. Why are you smirking?
Well, he's a fool. I mean, if you're going to spend up for milk because you think cows are pampered, I'm sorry, I don't...
Have you ever bought Eggland eggs? Those are supposed to be better eggs, better hens, better, fewer... chemicals.
Yeah, in my house, we buy two sets of eggs. I buy the cheapest ones possible, and Sharon doesn't. This story to me is heartbreaking because my parents brought my kids there many times.
The videos
to
have been released.
Watch calves being born and all of this stuff.
Show the cows being mistreated, and it's hard to watch.
But it's been such a positive influence. You know, and I drive up and down 65 to go see my kids at college or whatever, and you go by it, and it's fun just to drive by, and they have fun billboards. Oh, you just missed the cows and all of this stuff. Like I said, my kids would go there with my parents.
Just missed the cows, so we killed them.
Well, but the other thing is, and I don't know what I believe just yet or where I am in the whole thing. This is a very forward-thinking farm. I mean, I talk about them on the business lunch because they capture all the methane. And they create fuel for their trucks from the methane they capture. And then they build stations along the roads as they deliver milk to refuel with the methane they've captured from these cows.
Sorry I asked this. How do they capture the methane?
There's different, I don't remember the name of the machine, but they, from the manure, they take a pot of manure.
They don't have a pipe. I know what you're thinking.
All right.
No, the pot of manure and releases the methane, and they take it and turn it into natural gas that they use to fuel their trucks. So this isn't just some farm that's trying to sell happiness. They are doing very progressive things, too.
So you think that this is just poor oversight, that these are a few rogue employees?
I hope so. I really hope so. I really hope that's the case. Now, they're negligent.
They're
negligent. They should, if you're selling it this way, and if you're getting people to overpay for milk, then you got to make sure that your cows are being pampered.
Right, because
so they are responsible.
People are paying a premium not because they're efficient. They're paying a premium because they think these are happy cows. Those are not happy cows. I don't know that anybody who consumes any product from animals is getting them from happy animals. The cows probably don't want to go through an industrial milking process. But I'm telling you, when you watch this, it'll make you not just think about not eating beef. It'll make you think about going to soy milk. You just think,
beef. You've had some of those people in your studio.
Yes, I have.
The incredible burger people.
Yeah. And that stuff is actually pretty good. It's catching up, I'll say that. But, Steve, I think that if you are selling happy cows, you have to have oversight.
I agree.
How are you fooled by this?
I don't disagree.
Eric Zorn has received some scorn for trying to switch his allegiance from the Chicago Cubs to the Chicago White Sox this year. What are you hearing from your readership?
It's very interesting. The response to this column has been more voluminous and passionate than the response to all of my recent abortion columns put together.
Tell us why you're thinking about switching your fanship.
Well, no, I did. I announced in February that when the Cubs said they were going to go and form a pay channel next year, where you're going to have to, almost all the free TV is going away with them, and all the sort of basic cable stuff is going away. You're going to have to subscribe to the Cubs broadcasting network with Sinclair in order to watch Cub games. That was like a bridge too far for me, and it comes after, you know, the Ricketts family being so involved in conservative politics, raising money for Trump, and I know they've got Laura Ricketts is on the progressive side, but that,
and the father was revealed to have exchanged some pretty unfortunate emails,
and I just said I'm just done with this team.
The Addison Russell thing,
and Aldous Chapman. I mean, there were a number of issues, and they just kind of built up. And I said, look, there's nothing that you can't change teams in this town. It's kind of a beautiful thing. And people said, you know, Jerry Reinsdorf is not exactly a progressive Democrat, and that's true, but Jerry Reinsdorf doesn't rub my face in it. And they had a fundraiser for Trump at Wrigley Field last weekend.
Yeah, they did.
And I just said, you know, enough.
The they is not the Chicago Cubs.
It's not Anthony Rizzo, but it's
and it's not Joe Madden.
It's not Joe Madden.
And it's not Tom Ricketts.
It's not Theo Epstein.
Well, there you go. So I think you got to be careful with that.
It's
they
true.
Use the venue.
No, it's quite true that there is, you know, every you can't if you demand purity from anybody and any business.
Yeah, tell me the billionaire that's
it is Tom Ricketts. Todd is the fundraiser hosting the fundraising.
And he is the chief fundraiser for Trump's national
2020 campaign. Yeah.
But it's Tom's ball yard, too. And Tom's the one in the deal with the TV network. So
what are people saying to you?
Well, a lot of people are saying, thank you for doing this. I'm joining you. I'm going to the South Side. I've had it with the Cubs. A lot of people are also saying, I didn't count, I should have, but a lot of people are saying, yeah, you can't, you're messing up with my baseball fandom here, you're bringing politics into this, how dare you do that? To which my answer is Colin Kaepernick. You know, this happens all the time. But a thoughtful disagreement to this, I think, is that it is when you have a purity test, you're not going to be able to buy anything or do anything or go to any games because people aren't going to meet your high standards. And that is true. I'm not calling for a boycott of the Cubs. I'm just saying this is what I'm doing. It is hitting my threshold.
Have you watched or gone to White Sox games?
I have not gone yet because the WGN
hasn't
been giving me any tickets. So don't you guys have free tickets floating around here for that?
But I think the real test of fanship is...
I've been watching the games.
Scooters are coming to Chicago. We've talked about it before.
So the gang then goes on to the scooter conversation as well. There's a lot of good local topics. Eventually they went to Trump land briefly, but I don't know if you listen to podcasts. You should listen for the Mincing Rascals. By the way, I just wanted to mention, as happy as I was to crow about the fact that we won the award for best podcast by the Illinois Broadcasters Association this week, here's the official list of winners from this little radio station of ours. Ryan Burrow, best news reporter. Nick DiGilio, best radio personality, said the Illinois Broadcasters Association. The best feature was produced by our Bennett Wakenight and Steve Grzanich, Renaissance of Chicago's Pullman neighborhood. There was an award for Station of the Year that the radio station won, and honors were also given to the Bill and Wendy Show and to Dave Ennett in sports. So congrats to the gang. A lot of bases covered there. It's 11:23. There's a bunch of documentaries or pseudo-documentaries out right now that are really interesting. One of them is produced by Jamie Calvin. He's the guy that broke the Laquan McDonald video story. He's that journalist. You may not know that well. He's a writer. He's not one of the big electronic TV people in town, but there's this guy named Jamie Colvin, and he's the guy that really propelled our knowledge of our interest in the Laquan McDonald story leading up to, well, what was last night the debut of a Showtime 90-minute documentary called 16 Shots. And when I was talking to him this week in the studio, he said, yeah, it's pretty crowded out there right now. I said, well, better maybe to be out there right now than, say, I don't know, 18 months ago or 18 years ago. It just seems like there's a real interest in true entertainment right now. I'm thinking of Chernobyl, Griffin. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking of When They See Us. Right. CNN was talking this morning. They had a whole segment about how accurate is When They See Us, about the Central Park Five. And those are historical dramas. There's some distinction between that and documentary, but both are flourishing right now. I think especially documentary, and I think it has a lot to do with streaming services
Yeah.
being willing to put up the money for those because they don't often draw in the box office. Although last year and this year too, a little bit, saw huge numbers relatively for documentaries, with stuff like the Mr. Rogers documentary and Three Identical Strangers that ended up being kind of crossover hits.
Don't you think this is true? Most of us who have watched a documentary go, that was so interesting, I'm glad I did, but nobody wants to do it. It's like my Jefferson shows. Nobody is very excited about going to something that'll be
good for
you. Everyone's
excited about those.
That's quite a plug.
And then after you see it, you go, dang, that was good. That was, and then you talk about it. You're really informed and, I hate to say entertained, say in the case of any of these, Chernobyl, 16 shots, tragedies. But really entertaining when they're that well done.
Come see Thomas Jefferson. It'll surprise you.
It'll be so entertaining, you won't even believe it.
No one knows what Netflix's numbers are unless they deign to release them to us plebeians, which they occasionally do when the numbers are good for them.
Yeah.
But no one knows the rest of them. But I suspect that documentaries get watched a lot on that, and because they're producing a ton.
You know, I felt about that the same way I did Jim DeRogatis' book, Soulless, about R. Kelly. He came by this week, too. Jim DeRogatis, not R. Kelly. And interestingly, in both the 16 Shots documentary and in DeRogatis, the former Sun Times, he's at BEZ, he's at The New Yorker right now, he was at Rolling Stone, he's one of these great rock critics, along with Greg Coddington. We're so lucky to have those two. But DeRogatis has been working on this R. Kelly story for a couple of decades. He's been that little nemesis for R. Kelly. He's the reason. He is the Jamie Calvin, if you will, of R. Kelly, pushing the story forward. And in each case, in Jim DeRogatis' reporting and in Jamie Calvin's reporting about 16 Shots, about Laquan McDonald, both of them had a deep throat. Both of them had a mole. Neither of them will to this day say who it is. But in the R. Kelly camp, for half a dozen years, somebody was feeding him information. Hey, he did this. You should check that. You ought to know that. Same with at the Chicago Police Department, somebody was saying, there's a video you guys need to see. We would not have known about the video, but somebody was telling a reporter who told Calvin, there's a video out there. It took 13 months for us to see it, period. Imagine if those courageous, anonymous people didn't sort of put it out there. One other funny is the wrong word. One other interesting revelation, and then I'll shut up about this. But interesting revelation about 16 shots. After Laquan is shot 16 times, the coroner does his business, and then the body is transferred to the funeral home. Somebody at the funeral home, the police didn't call, the coroner didn't call. Somebody at the funeral home is preparing the body for the funeral, and they call a pastor who's related to Laquan McDonald, and they say, we've got the body here. This does not look like what the police described. The pastor said, take pictures. Take pictures. I want to see that. We need proof that this happened. And then the mole comes forward eventually saying, oh, there's video. Otherwise, this story does not exist. 16 Shots is the Showtime documentary. Debuted two nights ago. Fascinating. It's 1:31.
Don't want to sound full of myself or rude. You ain't looking at no other dude just cause you love me. So you think about a chance. You find yourself trying to do my dance. Maybe cause you love me. Oh, so when we tried, you slowed down because you weren't used to how fast we touched.
11:42, this is WGN.
Then we locked eyes and you was in the end. I was gonna chase up. I know that I'm carrying on. Never mind if I'm showing off. I was just front.
Saturdays at this time, we asked Griffin to play a song for us that maybe we should know a little bit about. You're going back a little bit here, Griff. What's going on?
Well, you said play Father's Day picks, songs you associate with your father.
Oh my gosh.
Now, that sounds weird because this is a love song, but that is one of your favorite songs.
It is.
Right?
It is.
I remember that's by Jamie Cullum. Now, it's a cover of a song by Pharrell called Frontin'. And this was on Jamie Cullum's album 20-something.
It is such a good song.
And he did this cover of it for BBC Radio or something. It actually ended up being that Pharrell heard this cover, loved it, and produced his next album. But I love this album. I don't know, I was probably 12 when it came out or something.
That was a long time ago.
Really into Jamie Cullum, and you were at the time subsidizing my musical tastes.
All my hipness was going, well, my kids listen to Maroon. I was a big Maroon 5 guy for 20 minutes.
Well, you were just paying for the CDs that I was listening to, so thank you for that. And then, but you, I remember you loved this song. And you listened to it over and over. It joined the ranks of a group of songs that I keep in my head, which are songs that you've either told me or I heard that you listen to in the car repeatedly, sometimes for over an hour. You'll listen to the same song over and over.
I was driving from Minneapolis to Chicago once and listened to that song 2.5 hours straight.
Like a truly insane person.
Ended, and then I listened to it again, and I listened to it again. And I was trying to memorize it. I was enjoying it. I was singing along to it. I probably listened to that song from Madison to Wrigley Field nonstop.
Now, I hope you don't mind me revealing that, because it's a little scary.
I think it's a badge.
But it's a great song. I've heard you do. I remember that was the first time I remember it, I think, was with that song. So I always associate that song with you.
I didn't know that.
But there are other songs that I know you've done that with, too.
Like what?
There's a song called Little Person.
Yeah.
Do you remember? You know that one.
Mm-hmm.
Well, obviously you know it. It's probably burned into your brain after a 6-hour trip to Montana.
Sing a little of it for you?
I could play it later.
I thought you were going to do some Christmas songs that I've sort of badgered my family with over the years.
Yeah, the Blenders Christmas CD.
Yeah, I thought everybody loved it, and they started hiding the CD. I go, where's the Blenders CD? Where's that one CD? And we don't know, Dad.
It's a wonderful a cappella group, and no shots at them, but we've heard those songs a lot. Also, Crystal Blue Persuasion. You had
Tommy James and the Shondells.
You had a phase with that.
I said something about that song once and got a shot across the bow, and I looked at this like, who are you people? That is such a good song.
So those three specifically, there's more that I'm blanking on, but yeah. So I wanted to play in honor of you, my father. Happy
Father's
Day.
Well, thank you, my son.
There
so there you go. That's okay. So Joe, going back to, hey Griff, you'll have to cue back up a little bit. Frontin' by Jamie Cullum. That's what this is about. Now on a scale of 1 to 100, even if you're hearing it for the first time, how awesome is Jamie Cullum's Frontin'?
I enjoyed it a lot. I'll give it an 88. It was kind of I thought Jack Johnson meets Stevie Wonder meets Linus from Peanuts.
I don't need you to describe the song to me, Joe. I know what it sounds like.
Well, apparently, if you're listening to it 3 hours straight, yes, 88, good song. I will now associate it with John Williams.
I want to welcome into our little family here, Joe. Don Kleppen's in the newsroom, but. Maple Walker's doing the news today. Maple, 1 to 100, what do you give that Jamie Cullum song?
I'm going to give it a 90.
90.
I actually like it.
What I'm talking about.
Trying to show me up.
I actually like it. Of course you like it. It's a great song.
It is. It is. Yeah. But I have an old soul, too. So that could be why.
Are we all familiar with the song that it's, you know, covering?
I don't know
Maybe
that I
should
am.
Play the original.
You got that?
The fact that you've listened to truly hours of this one song. I don't have it. I'll play it later.
Yeah.
hours of this one song, and you've never heard the original. It's fascinating.
I don't need the other song. I have this one.
It's
it
really good.
Me.
I prefer the original, but they're both tremendous. Yeah, I give it a 90.
Thank you. I don't believe in 100, so I'm giving it a 98, just because I like to leave the door open for something even better, but doggone it, thank you for remembering that, Griffin, because...
Oh, yeah, I've got that list. Also, The Sporting Life by the Decemberists was one, and I think you played that on the air a few times, too.
I sure have.
To that over and over and over.
Would you like me to quote some of that for you?
No.
What do we think about Toronto winning the NBA title? I'm really happy that... Like, I wasn't rooting against Golden State, because Golden State's a great team with... some real horrible injuries during the playoffs. I like to see the best teams play as best as the game can be played. What's not to love about that? But how can you not love a team of what I'll call no names winning the NBA crown?
Mm-hmm.
That was a great series. That was an epic series. Road wins and famous players and famous injuries And who had ever heard of Freddie Van Fleet?
Vleet. Actually, I got a call correcting you last week on this, too. But I didn't tell you because I wanted to watch you suffer.
And
Van Fleet. No
and
one's heard
Lowry.
Of Van Fleet because he doesn't exist.
And what's Lowry's first name?
Kyle Lowry.
Kyle Lowry, for crying out loud.
Toronto kind of stole the hearts of all the on-the-fence NBA fans, I think, with Kawhi Leonard's game-winning shot against Philly in Game 7. And,
right.
And how could you not on that whole run? I mean, then they go and upset the Bucks. I'm with you. You want to see a team play at its full potential in the Golden State Warriors. And
Will there be an asterisk by their win, Joe?
That's actually, Don Kleppen and I were talking about this. I think there's only an asterisk for Golden State fans. I mean, then they have the argument, well, you know, we didn't have two of our best players towards the end.
Players should have stayed healthy. That's part of the game.
But honestly, I'm kind of starting to lean that way now. It's a long season. It's a very long playoff run. All these things are taken into account of, you know, every player has to go through the same grind. So it's not really an asterisk. It's just something that happened that played out with the long grind of the season. And the other thing is, this has affected the Blackhawks for a couple of years. Think about all the playoff games that Kevin Durant has had to play over the years. Yeah. That adds to
that's right. There's
all,
another
all
season
longevity.
In there somewhere.
Exactly.
Yeah. Plus, Kevin Durant's legs are not meant for humans to play basketball on. They're like Derrick Rose's legs. You go, wait, you have no muscle mass here.
Right.
There's not enough to support the top of your body. Anyway.
Yeah, he looks like Jack Skellington. there's a little paper
little
legs.
Pencils down there.
Yeah, I totally agree with Joe. It's ridiculous to say. What are they supposed to do? What would you have them do? Try not as hard?
In the words of Mike Ditka,
what are they going to do?
Only,
are they not supposed to win?
Mike Ditka once said when asked about a team that was inferior and he won, he said, we can only beat the team we're playing. That's all we got. That's all we got.
And yeah, it's I had a blast watching this finals. It was great.
Yeah.
100.
100. I'm going to go 95 on the series in Toronto winning, and I'm happy for Canada, for crying out loud. They were cutting to Regina, Canada. People in town squares waving flags. It was just unbelievable.
Maple, did you watch?
I actually didn't watch, but I'm so happy Toronto won.
Why?
This stems back to a bias. You know, being from Cleveland, I've always wanted somebody to beat Golden State. Always.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
It's that
You're
serious.
A Cleveland girl. Wow, that scar don't heal, does it?
Ever.
Fair enough. Everybody's chimed in, Joe. 1 to 100. Toronto wins. You're happy with that?
Yeah, absolutely. I'll stick with my 88.
88. Incredible burgers that came up on the show again this week.
You said incredible. I think it's impossible. Sorry to do this. I hate to always.
Why are you a producer, but that you don't help the host?
Yeah,
but you do it off
burgers.
The air is maybe the best way to do it.
No, why would I do that when I have this segment?
When you have this opportunity.
Impossible burgers.
Well, they're incredible. And they're made of vegetables and soy products. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a run-in with them about 2 weeks ago. We talked about them on the air this week. I'm amazed. If you said that whole category, I'm like 87 on those bad boys. I think there's a future for us in those.
I love a veggie burger.
You do?
Any kind, yeah. Usually, yeah.
The thing is, though, I don't love less a cheeseburger made of cows. I love steaks.
Well, that's the fallacy. You don't have to choose. You can love both.
Yeah.
And that's what they want. We talked about this on the business lunch a couple weeks ago when they went public, when Beyond Meat went public. They want their food in the meat case because they want to find people who aren't looking for them. You know, that people who would usually just buy regular burgers. They want it in front of those eyes. They tell stores, don't put us in the frozen meat alternative section.
Huh.
And I think
effort to trick people? I mean,
I don't think to trick, just to show and give the option, maybe to trick, who's to say?
Because I've totally fallen victim to that once.
I bought
a six pack of tofu sausages thinking they were Italian sausages. And
yeah, everybody's got that story. At one time at Pitchfork Music Festival, the Chicago Diner, which I love and go to somewhat regularly, maybe too often, it's near my house. The Chicago Diner, which is all meat-free, had a tent. But I think it says meat-free since 83 or something like that, but it's pretty small. And what could be more nondescript than just Chicago Diner?
Yeah.
I was like, okay, that's...
I'll go get a sausage and some eggs.
That's where you get the regular food. And then, so I'm eating this corn dog from there, And I was like, why is this bad? Like, corn dogs are just always good.
How can you screw up a corn dog?
And now if I had it, I think my tastes have changed and more mature. I think I actually would enjoy it. But also with the knowledge, just know what you're getting into.
Right, right, right. Yeah, don't try and pull the rug out from under people or trick them.
I don't think that that's what they're trying to do.
Maple, where are you on that category?
Well, I actually don't eat meat. So the Impossible Burger is right up my alley.
You like that stuff?
I do, but unfortunately I can't have a lot of soy. So,
oh no.
You know, I have to pick and choose my battles wisely.
Wow, no kidding.
Yeah.
Sorry for you. The texture is important to me,
yes,
too. If they're going to fix anything, like I can live with the new flavor, whatever it's going to be, but I think if they're going to make it right for a lot of people, they've got to make it feel as much like what I'm used to as well. Okay, we have to pause for just a minute. So Amy Guth strolled through the studios. She's getting ready for her business lunch. White Sox baseball later this afternoon at 5 o'clock, Joe. The White Sox are at 5:30, our pregame.
5:35, first pitch at 6:10.
On WGN. I'm WGN King John on Facebook. On my Facebook page, I've asked you for the silliness and wisdom of your fathers. A text is poured in. It says, John, your sons could say that you used to, on New Year's Eve, strip down to your underwear and run around the neighborhood. Yeah, that hasn't come up on the show today until just now. Kind of forgot about that. I think we're all trying to block that out. But that was an annual tradition for me for about 10 years. Also, I mentioned earlier that, I don't know if we did talk about this, Lori Lightfoot is going to be on Colbert, I think, tomorrow night. Are you up to speed on that?
Yeah, that's what I've heard, too. That's going to be exciting to hear.
I knew that her being mayor of Chicago was a big deal, but, you know, you don't know how big a deal it is until you notice that other people are noticing.
That's right.
She's out speaking at a national convention this weekend. She's in New York for a few days, and then Colbert is going to make her his guest. I don't know how that's going to go. She's not funny. She's not lively. She's really interesting.
I
suppose that, you know, he's good. I'm sure it'll be good.
He's good at bringing funny out of people,
yeah,
or filling in gaps of funniness when there is none.
Right,
so
when they're dry,
that
becomes the funny then.
That's
so
right.
He's good at that.
Yeah.
All right, well, that'll be interesting to see. What are you doing, Amy Guth?
Well, you know, today we've got lots to do on the show, but, you know, I would add something to the Father's Day wisdom that,
yeah,
you were collecting. My dad taught me how to toilet paper a house. Because he...
good dad.
We got toilet papered, and he was like, the amateur. Amateurs. And we knew who did it. He goes, we're getting these kids next weekend. Amateurs. And I'm going to show you what to do. And so he taught me the proper way to unroll a little bit and then launch it across the house so you could get the backyard. He was good at that.
When we were collecting stories like that, I said, there's some things that are so dad and not mom. Would you,
mm-hmm,
put this in the, not many moms take the kids out and say, let's TP the neighbor's house?
Definitely not my mom. She's very shy, very reserved. So there's no way in the world she would be mortified.
Sounds like a dad story. What business stories do you got?
Well, so today we're going to be talking a little bit about a tuition tax credit program that benefits private schools that has, Pritzker promised to do away with it, but it did survive the last session downstate. So we're going to be talking about that a little bit. And we're going to take a look at a local B2B company with all the work that they do around data analysis. But we're also, I cannot do the show without talking about a story that it was on Crane's Daily Gist this week. And that was about how Kraft Heinz, local company there, is attempting to help give parents a tool to lie to their children to get them to eat more vegetables. And that is by the creation of salad frosting. I feel like I can't not talk about the salad frosting.
Bill F. this week was just transfixed by that concept.
I know he was. I heard that.
But, you know, I never heard them describe how to use it. Like, I thought, so are you taking lettuce out and pasting with a knife like you would frosting each piece of the salad? But it's just a dressing, right?
It is just ranch dressing in a tube. But so I think it's more like the little icing packet that goes with a toaster strudel. I think it's going to be more like that. But it's really sparked this bigger conversation about how much parents lie to their kids,
yeah,
and where the white lie becomes something more egregious and something like that, which has really been this big talker on social media. But there's a lot of food stories right now, too. Tyson getting into the meatless protein game in a big way. So we'll talk about that.
Have a good show.
Thanks so much.